Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive.
There will come a day, ladies and gentlemen, when the opportunity of coming to the house of God will be closed. And what will you say then? Will you say, money, get me out of this? Education, get me out of this? I will tell you that God Almighty is requiring us to return back to the worship of the one true God and move the other gods out of the way.
In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today.
Let's go into a brand new message series from Pastor Rogers. This series is entitled American Idols. This is part one from that series, No Other God Before Me. Let's go into the message with Pastor Rogers today.
But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know, verse 20, that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ, that is the true God and eternal life. And then this awesome one-line admonition. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Several years ago, I was traveling, and I think Taylor was with me and a few others, into Guatemala for a missions trip. And I was amazed at what Pastor Jose showed me when we went into the small town of Escapulas that was to this day still bound by the gods of the area, both satanic and religious, where people would line up by the thousands and buy small incense and statues or little perhaps legs or arms made out of brass, whatever that it may be, and then walk into the Cathedral of the Black Christ, as it's called. We went into that cathedral, walk around that crucifix of Christ in the arms of Mary made out of bronze. Now, the reason why it's made out of bronze now is because several years prior to that, it was made out of wood overlay. But Pastor Jose had come into that courtyard and went into there bringing a missionary with him at one point, and they went in like he would bring the missionaries into Escapulas. And when they got in the courtyard, that missionary along with Pastor Jose standing there, he said, well, why don't we just agree in prayer that God will tear down this idol that people are worshiping? And so they agreed in prayer at that moment. This was several years ago. And when they got through praying, they went on their way. A few months later, Pastor Jose was in another location in Guatemala, and a journalist came up to him and was doing a story in the area and hearing him preaching and making some pictures and so forth. And he came up to Pastor Jose and said, introduced himself, and they had a short conversation. And then he said, well, I know you're doing work in Escapulas. Have you heard about the crucifix of the Black Christ? And the reason why they call it the Black Christ is because when slaves were being brought into that area, that they would not worship. The slaves wouldn't a white Jesus, so the religion just changed its mind and made a Black Christ out of it. And it's an idol there to that day, to this very day. But the journalist asked Pastor Jose, what about this? Have you heard about what's going on? He said, no, I haven't. He said, I want you to know just a few months ago that termites had gotten into the wood of that crucifix and had eaten the interior of it to such a degree that they had to bring it down. Y'all ain't hearing me. Had to bring it down. And at that moment, Pastor Jose said, I remember praying in that courtyard for God to bring that idol down. To this day, and he took us through the process, to this day, the indigenous will come into this Catholic church and worship at the Black Christ, so much so that whenever they're leaving from around the Christ, this crucifix that's now encased in glass and is solid bronze and gold overlay, that they will back away, not turning their back on it, on this statue, on this idol, and they won't turn their back and walk backwards out of the building by the thousands. Then they will go and put on their indigenous garb of Guatemala, go across the mountain where he took us as well, and I'll never forget this, into a zoo. They called it a zoo. There was about four or five animals there. It's just a kind of a playground with some animals that were there. And in that location, on the other side of that mountain, on this side of the mountain, there's a Catholic church, the Cathedral of the Black Christ. On this side of the mountain, there's a cave that you enter into that is split in the middle in the shape of a cross that's been dug out inside of that cave. And there, the indigenous will go in and offer sacrifices of animals, including humans. As I stood there on the outside, I walked into that cave before. It's hell, ladies and gentlemen, on the inside. A fire burning on the inside of it day and night. It never goes out inside of that. But on the outside of the cave, for the first time in my location or coming into that area, there was a witch doctor that was right out in front of the cave. And on that place, he had built a fire down on the ground, and a few of his other associates were there with him, and a fire was built, and he had placed eggs around that fire, and he was doing all kinds of chants. I've got it on video. He's got all kinds of chants and mantras going on and worshiping these idols and all that's going on. And when we stood there and we're videotaping, all of a sudden the eggs burst because they got to a level of heat, and he would go into a kind of a dance and a worship before these idols. And I know today that when I read this and I say that I'm going to preach about idols, that in most churches of America, or people in America, would never picture themselves doing what I saw that witch doctor do. But I came to tell you today, my dear friends, that though we might not think of idolatry in the form of statues like people worship around the world, the million gods of the Hindus, we kind of think of it as being something in the past or some Eastern mysticism of some kind. And we think somehow that America doesn't have idols, but I can tell you the Western culture has its own idols that are not bronzed and put up on statues. We think of idolatry being confined to some bowing down towards some golden statue or praying towards some wooden trinket. This is how I know God always drops these words in before I preach to confirm what I'm supposed to. Pastor Taylor got up here a few moments ago talking about you should worship the one true God and not let any idols get in there. And then up comes the reverend and starts talking about wooden trinkets in the back. So y'all need to move up closer to the front, whatever. But I can assure you we have plenty of idols today. And God demands exclusivity of worship and obedience to him. God said out of his own mouth, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." The dominant sin in the Bible was the sin of idolatry. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 21, the word idolatry there is defined as creeping things. In other words, it's not something that may come on you all of a sudden, but it's the little creeping things that come into your life that become idols over a period of time. Let me lay a little foundation here for a few moments that I have left. This is a series, part one, that I'll be bringing some more to you about this, but let's understand what an idol is, because in your mind you have a picture of some golden statue somewhere, but here's the real definition biblically and for the time we're in. An idol is when something or someone becomes more important to us than God. Anything we look to as our source or we worship or serve more than God is an idol. An idol, now stop right here. I don't want you thinking about somebody else. I want you to think about you. An idol is anything in creation that competes with our loyalty and worship to and service to the Creator. We're now facing, in the time we're in, the worship of the creation more than the Creator. And God said, "I will have no other gods before me." Even good things, ladies and gentlemen, can become idols when we make them the ultimate thing in our lives. So anything or anyone can become an idol if we place the value for that thing or person above the value of our God. A little bit deeper, an idol is anything you love more, fear more, trust more, serve more, and worship more than God. Whatever your heart trusts in more than God becomes an idol. In fact, it is the greatest sin you'll find in the Bible because it transgresses the greatest commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and not worship another. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Notice what the Bible says in Exodus 20, verse number 16. The Bible says, and just a little background, right here, the Bible is talking about the fact that when they enter into the promised land, the children of Israel, they're not to cavort or to connect or make relationships with those gods of Canaanites that are in the promised land, because if you do, those gods will become your God. And here's what the Bible said in Exodus chapter 34, I should say, in verse number 16. It says, take of the daughters unto thy sons and their daughters, and they will go whoring after their gods and make thy sons go whoring after other gods. God said, I am a jealous God. Jealous is my name. God said, I don't want any other God, your husband, your wife, your time, your children, your money, your education. I don't want anything trying to compete with your worship unto me. I am exclusive. And if you've got anything between you and God, it is an idol, including yourself. Idols. Oh, they have new names today, but they've been around for a long, long time. The idols that have new names, we call it today materialism. Back in the Bible, they called it mammon. Jesus said, you can't worship both God and mammon. You're going to have to make a choice. Alcohol. We call it alcohol and alcoholism, but in the biblical term, it's Bacchus. They would worship that, the god of the drink, to get drunk. Sex was called Athena in the Word of God. Violence was attributed to the god of Mars in the worship of the stars and the power that it brings. Wisdom by the name of Sophie, or education, when they would worship their knowledge like they did on Mars Hill in the book of Acts chapter 17. Please notice the scripture in Exodus 32 and 4. Moses is on the top of Mount Sinai receiving the laws and the commandments of God and the blueprints of the tabernacle to worship God. And while he is up there, they decide, the Israelites do, the children of Israel down on the ground around the mountain of God, they decide, you know what? Our pastor has been gone out of our sight too long. And we need to form ourselves a God that we can see, because he's been taken away. He's not coming back. We're not hearing from that God. And we need a God we can taste, touch, smell, hear, and see. So they gave all of their gold that they had received as an offering from the Egyptians into the hand of Aaron, the high priest. And the Bible says that he received the gold from their hands and fashioned it with a carving tool and made, listen, a golden calf. And they said, these are our gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. They attributed their worship to a golden calf, which was a model of one of the gods of Egypt. And they said, this is the God. Aaron said, worship this God. And the Bible says that they worshiped and tore off their clothes and had a gigantic orgy in that place. And when Moses was coming back down the mountain and met with Joshua, Joshua said, there's a sound of war in the camp. And the discernment of the pastor Moses said to Joshua, that's not war, that's partying and riotous living. And by the time that he got down to the mountain, he saw the greatest orgy in the middle of a wilderness that has ever been formed. And he took those tablets of the law of God and threw them down on the ground, destroying that golden calf, and commanded everybody who was going to worship the one true God to go over here and get on my side. And you got to make up your mind which God you're going to serve.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.